Good afternoon, 4:30 and 75 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
And I'm Ashley Chapman.
Not sure we've had a crime quite like this in Ohio, certainly not in any recent memory.
Ohio BCI Chief Thomas Strickrath says the month-old Pike County murders may be the largest homicide investigation in state history.
A Moorhead State University police officer is seriously injured in a pre-dawn motorcycle accident.
And Montgomery County receives a work-ready certification.
In sports, it's Game 4 of the NBA's Eastern Conference Championship tonight as Cleveland battles Toronto.
Bud Luke has the stocks.
Clear this evening, lows in the mid-40s. The complete forecast is coming up after this news.
A Moorhead State University police officer is hospitalized with serious head injuries following a motorcycle accident early this morning. City police say 35-year-old Sergeant Anthony Dalton was airlifted to the UK Medical Center just after 4 a.m. Dalton was apparently headed home at the end of his shift when he lost control of his motorcycle on University Boulevard. The vehicle reportedly crossed a creek and struck an embankment, and the officer was thrown into an asphalt parking lot. Police say he was wearing a helmet.
The Ohio Highway Patrol has identified the man killed in a Sunday night traffic crash in Scioto County. Dead is 24-year-old Derek Adkins of West Portsmouth. Troopers say he lost control of his truck on County Road 49, and it slammed into a tree. The accident happened around 7:30. Police say Adkins died at the Southern Ohio Medical Center shortly after the mishap.
The Boyd County Sheriff wants more information about a halfway house operated by New Destiny Ministries in Ashland. Bobby Jack Wood says he has some questions about the program that operates out of the church basement. After a man was sentenced Friday for kidnapping a 14-year-old girl and holding her in South Point, Ohio for 3 days. WSAZ reports that 56-year-old Wallace Spence was participating in the program and was permitted to have contact with the girl, even though Spence previously served time for manslaughter and was accused of threatening to kill a woman in 2015. Sheriff Wood spoke with the Huntington station.
I want to look into why they would allow children to be in contact with people who have an extensive criminal history like Spence does.
The girl was said to have been unharmed during the incident, though it is still under investigation.
Police in Ohio are continuing to investigate the incident that led to the death of a Fleming County man. The Ledger Independent reports 38-year-old Jason Jolly of Ewing was operating a bulldozer at the Miami Fort Station last Thursday at the Lawrenceburg landfill when the incident occurred. Jolly was attempting to pull an excavator out of a pit with a tow strap when it broke, striking Jolly in the head. Miami Township Fire Department crews and University of Cincinnati Air Care were called to the scene. The Hamilton County Sheriff's Office is conducting the investigation.
It's been just over a month since 8 members of the Roden family were found murdered on their property near the Pike-Adams County line. Ohio and local officials say hundreds of people have been interviewed, and evidence continues to be collected and analyzed, but no arrests have yet been made. Thomas Strickrath is superintendent of Ohio's Bureau of Criminal Investigation. He's been working the case since the bodies were discovered April 22nd. Strickrath tells Cincinnati.com OBI was first on the scene, and it responded quickly because its resources were needed.
A case like this requires a comprehensive approach and an effort. As the Attorney General, I heard him telling one reporter that it's like putting a puzzle together. You know, you put one piece at a time and then, you know, this piece doesn't fit, and you try another piece. And in a case like Pike County, where you have 13 road deputies with their sheriff's office, it would just be overwhelming.
Strickrath says the Pike County killings represent one of the largest homicide investigations in Ohio history. He says solving the case will likely take a blend of old-fashioned police work and forensic science.
Kentucky AFL-CIO President Bill Lundrigan claims Donald Trump is campaigning as if he's a champion of working people, but it just isn't so. Lundgren accuses the Republican presidential candidate of supporting state right-to-work laws and a low minimum wage.
He his also businesses says, in the far-flung parts of the world, you know, have been producing goods with his labels on it, whether it's clothing or other items, in places like Bangladesh and China, Mexico, all around the world. So what we got here is a total hypocrite when it comes to labor issues.
Lundgren says Donald Trump is a billionaire posing as a populist.
Kentucky Governor Matt Bevin says the countries of Europe are curtailing personal liberties and overregulating their businesses, and he doesn't want to see that happen in the U.S. The Republican last month spent 5 days in Germany, France, and Belgium on a mission to encourage foreign firms to invest in Kentucky.
I don't mean to disparage some of the other countries, some of whom we're allies with, but I'll tell you, Europe is crumbling in some respects. The liberties, the freedom, the degree of regulation and suffocation of government, the overreach, the encroachment, not only on their right to bear arms, but on so many individual liberties and freedoms. It's suffocating that continent.
Bevin made his comments Friday to the National Rifle Association in Louisville. According to the Kentucky Department of Economic Development, European-based businesses operate 180 facilities in Kentucky, employing about 29,000 people.
Kentucky Republicans are planning another push this fall to win a majority in the House of Representatives, a legislative body they've not controlled since 1922. However, a Democratic Party analyst says their quest is likely to be hampered by an unpopular governor. Sherman Brown is a strategist for Kentucky Democrats. Les Fugate is a political operative for the state Republican Party. Fugate says it won't matter if Matt Bevin has low approval ratings in November because the general election will be decided on other issues. However, Brown insists Bevin will be a factor. The men discuss the issue on CN2's Pure Politics. Brown says the governor was first defined in 2014 by Senator Mitch McConnell, who called him an East Coast con man, and his reputation hasn't improved much since.
His numbers are low, and that's you see it in the national polling of 33%. I mean, it's really low, and I think it goes back to that. It's not necessarily what he did in the session. I don't think that's really as much. I think it's everything that's been said about him for 2 years.
What will get the attention of voters is what's on the ballot at that moment, and the presidential race consumes all voters, and it also brings out totally different voters. Generally, in Kentucky, when you have the presidential race on the ballot, you have more conservative voters turning out.
And those more conservative voters, says Fugate, will vote Republican. Democrats currently hold 53 of the 100 seats in the Kentucky House.
Lewis County Congressman Thomas Massey says the House of Representatives is working better now that John Boehner is no longer in charge. Both men are Republicans. However, Massey claims the former speaker from Southern Ohio didn't like him too much and held up legislation the Kentucky lawmaker was attempting to get through Congress.
Speaker Boehner called Ted Cruz a few names. I didn't go out and tell anybody in the media, but he's also called me names. And when somebody asked him, why aren't you moving Massey's bill, he would say, well, because he's a whatever. And Paul Ryan's not that way, and we moved one of my bills in the Oversight and Government Reform Committee. Now, whether it comes to the floor or not, I don't know, but that's a first for me, and it would never have happened under John Boehner.
Massey made his comments last week on C-SPAN's Washington Journal program. He says even though he did not support Paul Ryan to be speaker, the House has improved under Ryan's leadership.
Congressman Hal Rogers says a program that enables low-income families to experience the dream of home ownership is among the reasons he likes an appropriations measure for the Departments of Housing and Urban Development and Transportation. The Pulaski County Republican says the fiscal 2017 measure includes $50 million for initiatives like SHOP or the Self-Help Home Ownership Opportunity Program.
These programs help low-income families become homeowners through contributing their own sweat equity to the building process. And in my rural district, it has really made a difference.
Rogers says the bill now before Congress also funds the Community Development Block Grant Program at $3 billion. He says that's vital to local projects all over the country.
Upgrades continue to be made on the Rowan Veterans Museum and the county's old jail at the Art Center Square in downtown Moorhead. Judge Executive Walter Blevin says a contractor has been hired to clean the outside of both facilities, while those working to fix up the old jail are looking forward to getting some key assistance in their efforts.
Well, they got a $12,500 grant. They requested $25,000, but they got $12,500. We requested a $10,000 grant, and we were turned down. But they're planning on using that for mainly cleanup and, I guess, putting some drop ceiling in and fixing some of the things that need to be fixed, cleaning it up, painting it, and that type of thing.
Blevin says a problem with water getting into the jail and the museum's basement must still be solved and could require some excavation work.
Officials in Lawrence County and Louisa are hoping to boost their area's local economy, but a key part of their plans have hit a snag. MSPR's Michael Gustin has the story.
According to the Ashland Independent, they'd like to construct a river walk with a zip line that would go along the Big Sandy River, running from Kentucky to West Virginia. However, $9,500 for that project is on hold because of a change in the administration at the State Center for Rural Development. Louisa Mayor Harold Sloan says officials now hope to get money from the U.S. Economic Development Association and several other federal agencies who are working to help areas around the country affected by the decline in the coal industry. For more at State Public Radio News, I'm Michael Gustin reporting.
The Lewis County school system needs a new superintendent. Belinda Foreman says she'll be retiring as of June 30th, just after 11 months on the job. Foreman, who's worked inside the district for 37 years as a teacher, principal, assistant superintendent, and now as its chief executive, says she's exhausted.
This needs to be a younger person. I like to work continuous. I think the face of the superintendent should be everywhere, promoting the school system and doing everything they can for it. And I've tried to do that. But I have aging parents. My father's in a nursing home. My mother has a multitude of health problems, and I'm not taking care of them.
Foreman became Lewis County Superintendent August 1st of last year.
Kentucky State University President Raymond Burse is resigning at the end of this week. Kentucky News Network reporter Paul Miles has more.
Kentucky State University President Raymond Burse is resigning at the end of this week. In a statement, Burse says the further demands and challenges of Kentucky State must be undertaken by new leadership. Burse made headlines when he gave up part of his salary to boost the wages of university workers. He also warned the college might have to close due to state budget cuts. Kentucky State was later spared any cuts. I'm Paul Miles.
Montgomery County has been added to Kentucky's list of work-ready communities. That's according to Education and Workforce Development Cabinet Secretary Hal Heiner. He says Montgomery, Bullitt, and Trigg counties are the latest to be certified. The designation means that those communities have the necessary skills to staff existing jobs and the ability to master technologies required by new jobs. Heiner says 29 Kentucky counties are now certified as work-ready.
The Ashland Police Department is facing a proposed 2017 funding cut to field operations, including the maintenance of police vehicles. The city of Ashland, working with a budget 4.8% smaller than the current year's allowance, has reduced funding for equipment repair and vehicular maintenance for Ashland Police from $52,000 in 2015 to a proposed $45,000 in the next fiscal year. Ashland Police Chief Rob Ratliff says losing that money would make it difficult to maintain an aging fleet.
We had asked for 5 additional vehicles, and we were approved 2. And to be able to maintain a level of service, we have to have reliable vehicles to be able to do that.
At least 6 vehicles in the Ashland Police Department have tallied over 100,000 odometer miles. Ratliff says if they are unable to maintain a steady working fleet, the Ashland Police will request a budget adjustment from the Ashland Board of City Commissioners.
And finally, this afternoon, law enforcement agencies in Northeast Kentucky will be taking special care in the next couple of weeks to cite drivers and passengers not wearing their seatbelts. They'll be taking part in the National Click It or Ticket campaign, which runs through June 5th. According to Kentucky Department of Highways District 9 spokesman Alan Blair, the effort has made a difference. Blair says seatbelt use in the Commonwealth has increased a great deal from the 67% that was being experienced back in 2006.
We're about 87% usage. We're below the national average, actually, in Kentucky. And we still see, unfortunately, about 60% of our fatalities are people who were not wearing a seatbelt at the time the crash occurred.
Last year in Kentucky, 588 people died in motor vehicle wrecks. 388 of them were not wearing their safety belts.
Where to? Your weather for the rest of the night is going to be mostly clear with lows in the mid-40s. Tuesday, sunny with highs around 80 degrees. Tuesday night, partly cloudy. A 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms late in the evening and lows in the upper 50s. Wednesday, partly sunny. A 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms throughout the day. Highs in the lower 80s. In Ashland, it's 75 degrees. Flemingsburg sits at 74. Inez is at 73 degrees, Lexington at 74, Winchester at 77, and Moorhead is 75 degrees.
4:46 on our feature segment this afternoon. According to a Washington lawyer who specializes in pipeline cases, the federal agency in charge of deciding them is oriented toward their approval. The West Virginia News Connection's Dan Hyman reports.
The federal agency that approves or denies gas pipelines is oriented against the concerns of landowners and communities, according to people working on the issue. The Federal Energy Regulatory Commission will decide on the huge pipelines competing to bring natural gas through West Virginia and Virginia to eastern markets. Spencer Phillips with Keylog Economics studied the impact of the Mountain Valley Pipeline. He estimates it will hurt folks along the line to the tune of more than $8 billion. But Phillips says FERC is not designed or inclined to consider those costs.
FERC's approval process for the Mountain Valley Pipeline is really a rigged game. The agency's procedures themselves, as well as their track record, mean that they ignore some really important costs to people and communities.
According to a Washington lawyer who specializes in cases like these, FERC's orientation is built into its legal DNA. Carolyn Elephant says the 1930s Natural Gas Act was passed at a time when the government wanted to encourage the development of needed infrastructure. She says it gave regulators the power to use eminent domain to overcome landowner opposition. So Elephant says FERC now assumes if most landowners make a deal with the developers, the folks along the line have received fair compensation.
That's very inaccurate. Many times people enter into the agreements because they feel like they have no choice. They're not going to be able to fight a huge gas company, and they figure they might as well take what they can get.
Elephant says the federal agency may seem intimidating to ordinary folks, but she stresses that even when it seems that way, it's still worth trying to make your case the same way pipeline developers do. Phillips says when it comes to determining if there is a need for the MVP, it's still unclear if the agency will listen to the landowners and local communities or just the power company.
The firm obviously wants to make money for its shareholders. However, it has not been demonstrated that there's any public benefit outside of the corporation itself, that there would be any public benefit.
The pipeline developers argue the lines are justified to meet future public demand for gas in North Carolina and coastal Virginia. FERC says it does balance impacts and demand when determining overall public convenience and necessity. For the West Virginia News Service, I'm Dan Hyman.
4:49, All Things Considered from NPR is coming up at 5 o'clock, and Sean has sports in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from the Kentucky Innovation Network at MSU. The Innovation Network supports and promotes entrepreneurship by providing business consulting to entrepreneurs, small businesses, innovative nonprofits, and inventors. The network also works in Eastern Kentucky schools to teach entrepreneurship and promote the high-tech industries of the future, such as drones and space science. To learn how the Innovation Network helps the entrepreneurs of today while encouraging the entrepreneurs of tomorrow, The phone number is 606-783-9536.
Cavs try to nab the win. Good evening, this is MSBR Sports Report. I'm Sean Delaney. Taking a look at the NBA playoffs, after turning in a mediocre performance 2 nights ago and losing to the Raptors 99-84, Cleveland is out to take a 3-1 lead in their NBA Eastern Conference Final tonight. Should the Raptors win the game on their own court, the series will be tied 2-2, with Game 5 set for Cleveland. And the Oklahoma City Thunder are up 2-1 following a 133-105 rout of the Golden State Warriors. Game 4 of the Western Conference Finals is slated for tomorrow night at the Chesapeake Energy Arena in Oklahoma City. Kentucky's high school baseball team start postseason play tonight. There will be 2 games in the 61st District Tournament in Flemingsburg. At 5:30, Bath County meets Fleming County. Bath County coach Patrick Armitage expects his Fleming counterpart, Austin Hart, to challenge his hitters a lot with different looks.
He has taken a different approach with his pitching. He's thrown everybody. And there's been games this year where he's pitched 7, 8, 9 guys in a ball game just to get through it, to keep them underneath that 25-pitch count so they can pitch again tomorrow.
In Game 2 tonight, Rowan County plays Menifee County. Rowan coach Keith Britter says he might go with freshmen on the mound against a 3-23 Wildcats.
Just to get him some tournament experience. A.J. Hacker's thrown really well for us this year. Just to get him some tournament experience and you know, go battle and see what the tournament holds for us.
The 61st District's title game is Wednesday night at 6:30. After closing out the regular season with 2 losses in 3 games at Murray State, the Morehead State Baseball Eagles are now looking ahead to the OVC tournament. They'll face Tennessee Tech on Wednesday at 2 p.m. in Jackson, Tennessee. MSU coach Mike McGuire goes into the event concerned about his hitters, who haven't had a good weekend in Murray.
Disappointing thing for me, you know, I think we punched out 30 times at the plate this weekend, and, you know, against, you know, average to below average OVC pitching staff. I think that's the disappointing thing to me is that we didn't swing the bats like we're capable of.
The Eagles head into the postseason with a 31-25 overall record. They finished 4th in the OVC at 17-13. Looking to snap their 7-game losing streak, the Cincinnati Reds will be in Los Angeles at 10:10 tonight to face the Dodgers. The Reds were 5-4 losers at Great American Ballpark yesterday to Seattle. Starter Alfredo Simon saw his record fall to 1-5 with another rough outing as he gave up 5 runs and 9 hits in 5 innings. His ERA for the season also ballooned to a whopping 10.19, and the right-hander is struggling to figure out what's going wrong for him.
It's nothing different. Like, you know, sometimes baseball is really tough, and then, you know, every time I go there, I just try to win the game no matter what, and then right now, everything is backwards, so nothing that I can do.
Brandon Finnegan will take his 1-2 record to the Dodger Stadium mound tonight for the Reds. LA will counter with a 6-1 ace, Clayton Kershaw. In other Reds news, according to MLB.com, pitcher Ross Ohlendorf will not be suspended after winning an appeal. The Reds reliever was originally handed a 3-game suspension after hitting Pirates infielder David Freese in the 9th inning on May 11th. Freeze was one of the 6 players who were hit by a pitch in the final game of that series. The Lexington Legends lost 8-3 yesterday in South Atlantic League action at Greenville. The Legends return to Whitaker Bank Ballpark at 7:05 tonight to host Kannapolis. The front row for next weekend's Indianapolis 500 was set yesterday at the Old Brickyard. Here's Tom Atkins.
In a storybook comeback, James Hinchcliffe has captured the pole position for the 100th running of the Indianapolis 500. Hurt in a practice crash at Indy last year that cost him the rest of the season, Hinchcliffe turned a 4-lap speed of 230.760 miles per hour to nose out Joseph Newgarden. 2014 winner Ryan Hunter-Reay will complete the front row. There will be 6 former winners and 5 rookies in the 33-car field for the May 29th race. Tom Atkins, Indianapolis.
The NFL's Jacksonville Jaguars have signed their draft pick. Cornerback Jalen Ramsey has inked a 4-year contract said to be worth more than $23 million, including a $15 million signing bonus. Trainers for the Kentucky Derby winner Nyquist say the Colts' trip to Belmont Park has been delayed because of a, quote, slightly elevated temperature. Assistant trainer Jack Sisterson says the 3-year-old colt who finished 3rd in Saturday's Preakness has a temperature of 102 degrees and won't be sent to the track in New York on Monday as originally planned. Team Nyquist still hopes the horse will be able to run on June 11th in the Belmont Stakes, where he would meet up again with Preakness winner Exaggerator. Sisterson says the purpose of the delay is to check the horse's blood work. For Morehead State Public Radio Sports, I'm Sean Delaney.
MSPR comes from Morehead State Athletics, online at msueagles.com. The annual MSU Athletics golf outing will be held on Saturday, June 4th, at Eagle Trace Golf Course. 18 holes of golf, use of the driving range, prizes, continental breakfast, lunch, and refreshments. Sponsorships, reservation, and more information from MSU Athletics at 783-9052 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. stocks closed lower as investors awaited further indications on the timing of the Federal Reserve's next interest rate hike. And in afternoon trading, telecoms and utilities both lagged, and of course both of those are interest rate sensitive, while materials led with gains of more than 1%. And at the close, the Dow Industrials did finish with a loss of 8.01 at 17,492.93. The S&P 500 was down 4.28 at 2,048.04. And the NASDAQ Composite was down 3.78 at 4,765.78. In corporate news, German drug maker Bayer announced a $122 a share bid for seeds and chemicals maker Monsanto, the deal being worth a total of $62 billion. And Monsanto was very strong today as it finished with a gain of almost 4%. Apple briefly traded more than 1.5% higher after Taiwan's Economic Daily reported that Apple asked its suppliers to make more iPhone 7s than expected. And the Van Vector Semiconductor ETF itself traded about 1% higher. U.S. crude oil futures for July delivery were down 33 cents, finishing at $48.08 a barrel. In other corporate news, Anthem and Cigna are privately bickering over details of their planned $48 billion merger, according to a Wall Street Journal report. The news comes as the two health insurers work to obtain regulatory approval for their deal. Shares of Cigna were down almost 4%, and Anthem was down almost 2%. In Europe, stocks were slightly lower. In Asia, stocks closed mixed, with the Shanghai Composite up about 0.6%, and the Nikkei 225 about 0.5% lower. Among S&P 500 companies, Monsanto, as mentioned, very strong today, up with a gain of actually over 4%, while CF Industries was up 4.3%. Among your S&P losers, Roper Technologies was down almost 6%, and Transocean was down 3%. And as mentioned, Cigna was among your worst performers among the S&P 500 stocks, with a loss of almost 4%. Among Dow Jones stocks, DuPont was your best performer with a gain of almost 2%, and Apple was up 1.3%. And your worst performing Dow stocks were Microsoft, which was down 1.2%, and Verizon, which finished with a loss of 1%. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Incorporated up 7 cents at 112.46, CSX down 24 cents at 25.58, AEP down 84 cents at 62.96, AK Steel up 13 cents at 3.59, Marathon Petroleum down $1.06 at 35.57, and Kroger was up 19 cents, finishing at 34.81. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Your weather for the rest of tonight is mostly clear with lows in the mid-40s. Tuesday will be sunny with highs around 80 degrees. Tuesday night, partly cloudy, a 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms, and lows in the upper 50s. Ashland sitting at 75 degrees, Flemingsburg at 74. It's 73 degrees in Inez and 74 degrees in Lexington. Winchester is sitting at 77 degrees, and it is currently 75 degrees right here in Morehead.
And that does it for us on Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Meraz, Tanner Boyd, Michael Gustin, Sean Delaney, and Jacob Lindberg. From the West Virginia News Connection, Dan Hyman. And from the Kentucky News Network, Paul Miles. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Ashley Chapman and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Dan Conte, Morehead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.